Tonight, we are going to discuss in Acts chapter 18 the topic of how Jesus encouraged Paul, how he encouraged Paul directly. This was read by Randy. He read this passage earlier. Before we dig into it, I want to remind everybody about what Paul has been through thus far. Of course, we know that he was converted in Acts chapter 9 by being struck blind on the road to Damascus. Many of us, when we were converted, we were not struck blind, right? I would imagine this is a traumatizing event. Would you probably agree with that? And as we see, Paul, he begins very quickly to preach the gospel from that point on. In fact, we progress a little while and a few chapters, and in chapter 13, he begins the first missionary journey, as we call it, with Barnabas. And in chapter 13, he travels from Syria to Antioch, him and Barnabas, and they begin the first missionary journey. They travel to Salamis, an island in Cyprus, preaching the gospel, and then they walk to Paphos on the other side of the island. And from Paphos, they meet with Elymas, who's a sorcerer, and Elymas tries to prevent the governor from receiving and accepting the gospel. Paul, at this point, he actually strikes a man blind. He's adamant to work, and it's not easy work. As you can see, lots of traveling. Then after that, they sail to Perga, and at that point, Mark leaves them, leaves Paul and Barnabas, which will later on create a little bit of a feud or some tension there, but we won't get into that. And Mark leaves to go back to Jerusalem. So Paul feels abandoned, and we can actually read about that later. He feels abandoned. This is a new convert, someone that's really trying to do the work of the Lord, and already he has someone abandon him. After that, they leave Perga and go to the Pisidian Antioch, and while there, he's preaching, and many in the city believe, and they're taught. But then others come and they throw him out of the area. They throw him and Barnabas out. So they have some good, but then they have really bad again, push them back out. Then they move on to Iconium. Paul preaches in the local synagogue there. Once again, there's some unbelieving Jews that stir up many in the city and oppose the truth. And after learning of a plot to have them stoned to death, he and Barnabas both leave. So now they have threatenings for their life. And then Paul goes to Lystra. This is in Acts chapter 14. He heals a crippled man. And many are amazed by this. But then some crowds get stirred up again. And they actually stone Paul this time and drag him out of the city to die. They actually assume that he is dead. But he lives and he goes back in and he says, "I'm finished with you guys." And he leaves. Of course, I'm paraphrasing all of this for time's sake. They move on to Derbe, and they begin to retrace their steps through Lystra, Iconium, and then Antioch, thus concluding the first missionary journey. So we see getting thrown out of a city. We see their life getting threatened. We see the abandonment issue, and we see stoning for dead, left for dead. Then he decides he's going to do it again. Okay. And on his second missionary journey, he goes to Derbe and Lystra. And there we know that he meets Timothy, according to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Then while journeying through the Pisidian Antioch, Paul decides to preach in the western part of Asia. But the Holy Ghost actually tells him, "No, you're not going to go do that. You don't get to do what you want to do. Sorry." Talk about denying yourself that we just talked about. So Paul does not. And then instead, he has a vision telling him where to go from there, which ends up being in Philippi, where he casts out a demon out of a slave. The slave's owners get mad because they're making money off of this demon-possessed individual, and they have him thrown in prison, Paul and Silas. Of course, Silas is his traveling partner at this time. And then after Philippi, after he gets out, he goes to Thessalonica, And he preaches there, many believe and accept the gospel, then riots form. I believe this is because of, he says, put away those idols, and there was a man there that made silver idols, and he gets upset and stirs everybody up. So they leave and they go to Berea. Thankfully, the Bereans accept Paul and his message, and in fact, they even check him against the scriptures, which is a great example for us all. Finally, they leave Berea because there's unbelieving Jews that show up, and there's trouble. So they leave. They go to Athens. He gets to preach there in Athens, and then later we see that from Athens he goes to Corinth. And that is where we are in chapter 18, is in Corinth. So again, we see riots, we see getting pushed out of the cities, we see people that are very discouraging towards Paul and his missionary journeys. So at this point, he is in Corinth, he has been preaching, and then some of the Jews begin to blaspheme, as we read in chapter 18, verse 6, and he says, you know, when I'm done with y'all again. He shakes off his raiment, it says, and he says, I'm going to the Gentiles. So he goes and he lives with a man, or stays with a man named Justus, whose house is actually right up against the synagogue. And if you can imagine yourself in this situation, you're trying so hard, you have the conviction of Paul, you have the traumatizing experience of his conversion, and he knows that Jesus is serious. He is a serious individual, and we need to know that too. What he tells us to do, we need to do. So he's trying to do it, and he keeps getting roadblocked. And there's more that we can read about in some of his epistles on what happens to Paul, and then later on in his life. And Jesus comes to him, and he says in verse 9, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee or hurt thee, for I have many people in this city. The only other time we see someone tell Paul to not be afraid is in Acts chapter 27, when they're shipwrecked and everyone's panicking on the ship, and Paul stands up and says, we don't need to worry. An angel has come to me and has told me to not be afraid. As a parent, why do you ever tell your child to not be afraid? The answer is they're afraid. They're afraid. Paul has all these bad experiences. He has every reason to be afraid. Every reason to be afraid for his physical life. This is a young man in his conversion. So, when we tell our children not to be afraid, we want them to be comforted that we are there with them. We are there. Jesus wanted Paul to feel the same way. I am here with you. In fact, it's not just me. I have lots of people in this city. I have lots of them. He ends up staying there 18 months. It's one of the longest places he's ever stayed. Okay? So what, you know, we're thinking about this, getting comforted. It's not just that he gets comforted. He says, speak. Hold not thy peace. So not only be comforted, but in your comfort, be brave. Be courageous. As Christians, we are told several times to encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14 says, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Okay? As a church, we are the people that Jesus speaks about here to Paul. We are the people, we have many in this auditorium. We actually have many probably in this city that have a like mind. And we need to encourage one another. We also read in Titus chapter 2 verse 15, these things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority, let no one disregard you. And what things are this? Well, if you go back to verse 11, you'll read that the Son of Man has come for you. Okay? And you can continue on. That's what he wants you to tell people. Be bold, be brave. Be comforted, but in your comfort, be brave. And it's not comfort as in relaxation. This is comfort as in you're going to be okay. In fact, Paul, this, but I like to think that this made an impact in Paul's life. Not only could we see him staying there for 18 months, like Jesus says, but because later in all of his epistles, he encourages the people. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31, he writes to the Roman church, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, he says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." In chapter 8, verses 38 through 39, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything less in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul not only teaches, he encourages. Just like Jesus here encouraged him. But in his comfort, he did not relax. He still preached and he was still brave. We need to have the same types of attitudes today. We need to be comforted that Jesus is with us. We need to be comforted that we have each other, just like Jesus pointed out to Paul. But at the same time, we have to be brave. We have to be brave. We have to deny ourselves, get out of our comfort zone, and try to speak with others. We have to. It has to be done. The church would die if we did not speak. The church relies on the members to speak up. There may be some here that have felt a little faint-hearted. They have felt the fear, the physical fear maybe even, of what may happen by speaking up. Rest assured, Jesus is with you. There may be those that don't have Jesus with them in this auditorium today. The only way Jesus will be with you is if you obey his gospel. We pointed it out in 1 John. We've been reading about it. We pointed it out here that it took Paul's conversion for Jesus to say, "I'm with you." In Paul's conversion, Jesus didn't say, "I'm with you." He said, "Why are you kicking against the goads? You're against me. I'm not with you." But here he says that I'm with you. It wasn't until after his conversion, after he obeyed the gospel. If you need to obey the gospel so you can be with Jesus, now's the time. If you need prayers, help, strength from the people inside this building, now's a good time too to ask for that. What? If you have any need, please come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.